This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Unlike the revolts in Tunisia and Egypt, the recent collapse of Lebanon's government had nothing to do with populist fury. Part of the country's governing coalition, including the Shiite Hezbollah movement, simply walked out. They wanted the government to cut ties with an international court that is expected to indict Hezbollah members. That's in connection with the 2005 assassination of the country's prime minister. After walking out, Hezbollah then pushed through its own choice for prime minister. As NPR's Peter Kenyon reports, many Lebanese are asking themselves if this marks a rise of the country's growing Shiite population.
Hezbollah has long had power on the ground. In December 2008, Hezbollah leader Sheikh Nasrallah galvanized a huge audience with his call for Egyptians to rise up in protest over Cairo's refusal to lift the blockade of the Gaza Strip. Politically, Lebanon has never acknowledged the widely accepted belief that Shiites are the largest single group in the country. Lebanon's system requires the president to be a Maronite Christian and the prime minister a Sunni Muslim, ostensibly because of their shares of the population. Shiites get the less powerful speakership of the parliament. There hasn't been a census in decades for fear it would sow political chaos. For analyst Talal Atrisi at Lebanese University, the ascension of Hezbollah to a share of the political majority for the first time in its history is symbolically important.
Yes, I believe what we're seeing now is the rise of the Shia, and not just politically, but economically, socially, and culturally.
Atrisi says the shift mirrors the regional rise of the so-called Resistance Alliance, Iran, Syria, and non-state actors such as Hezbollah and Hamas. At the same time, he says, U.S. influence and that of its Sunni allies in Lebanon is on the wane.
The Sunnis chose to be with the pro-American alliance, the so-called moderate Arabs, and now we see that alliance disintegrating. People no longer believe America will reach out and protect its allies here. They're no longer afraid.
On the other hand, a number of analysts say, yes, Sunnis and Christians feel diminished in Lebanon these days, but it would be a stretch to claim that Lebanon now has a Hezbollah-led government, as some Western commentators have done.
Well, if you are alluding here to some people's thoughts that Hezbollah may be working towards some kind of an actual political takeover here, I think that would be very far-fetched.
Analyst Judith Palmer-Harik, author of a book and many scholarly articles on Hezbollah, says as the most powerful military force in the country, Hezbollah has no need for overt political control. In fact, she says Hezbollah would be of less use to Syria and Iran as a governing body than it is as a militia operating with impunity. But she says that impunity, however, lasts only as long as people believe Hezbollah's weapons are pointed outside the country, i.e. towards Israel. That image would be badly tarnished if Hezbollah members are indicted in the assassination of former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri.
I think in their mind, of course, was the image of a national resistance. And a national resistance doesn't go about killing prime ministers in the country in which they are supposed to be a national resistance.
Political scientist Hilal Hashan at the American University of Beirut forecasts that Hezbollah will participate at a minimal level in the next government, if at all. But he says Arab neighbors and the West will recognize nonetheless that Lebanon's Shiites, led by Hezbollah, are a force to be reckoned with.
Of course, the balance of power has shifted and the control over the political system has shifted. You know, Hezbollah is having its field day in Lebanon.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.